It is indeed a pleasure to be here, be among our brethren, even though the weather outside might not be as inviting. It certainly is inside the structure here with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I appreciate very much the efforts that each of the song leaders have taken to pick songs that will assist in the focusing our attention upon the topic of our discussion. We have been looking at various ideas of foundations of faith. Starting off Wednesday night with the idea of believing without ever seeing. Going as far as making sure that we understand that our faith can fail, and working diligently and taking steps so that it does not fail. And then looking last night at the idea of the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ and how we have faith in the blood and how that is demonstrated in our lives as Christians. Today I want to go a little further with that idea of how faith impacts our life. I want to start off with the idea of some choices that we make. I know that you all are familiar that we face many kind of choices each and every day of our lives. We got up this morning and we made a choice on, some of us, to put on some longer sleeves than what we might normally have put on. We chose some outfits and we chose a route to get here this morning. We even say from time to time that life is full of choices. And even though there are many of those daily choices that are minor, they're inconsequential, really, we all know that there are choices that we make that will affect long-term in our lives. They'll affect our lives in some major ways. It might be who you continue to date. It is who you are going to marry. Those are choices that we make, and they impact our lives going forward. And as believers in the Bible, we also understand that there are certain choices that are literally eternal in their consequences. So for today, what I want to help you do is to think about one of the main reasons that we make certain choices regarding right and wrong, way we make certain choices regarding what's good and what is evil, and what is temporal and what is eternal. We're going to look at choices made by faith. Just to start off, let me have you go through a little mental exercise, if you will. This is in the attempt to help us appreciate the spiritual truth that I want us to contemplate throughout the lesson this morning. Imagine for just a moment this scenario. Imagine that you have been given $10,000. You've been given that in cash. You've got $520 bills. Now I want you to suppose that there are no strings attached. There are no future obligations to the one who's given it to you. There's no hidden hooks. There's no gimmicks. There's no requirements. It is entirely a free gift. $10,000 handed to you. And for the sake of this illustration, let's also suppose that covetousness, greed, selfishness, materialism, none of that plays any part of any decision that you made. You've got $10,000. It's in your hand. Now imagine that someone's going to offer to give you $100,000 in 90 days if you'll hand them that $10,000 in now. All right. Now, if you're faced with a situation like this, a couple of different things that you could do. You could look at it and say, well, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I'm just going to keep my $10,000. You're going to hold on to that. You're going to keep what you already have instead of trying to risk it for something that you might never receive. Well, but then others may say, yeah, I'll give up a smaller amount for the prospect of a greater treasure that's been promised to you in the future. Again, you've got $10,000 and somebody said, I'll give you $100,000 in 90 days if you'll give me that $10,000 right now. So we make a decision. We've got a choice to make. Now I want you to think about it with a couple of different twist to the story. Suppose that the man that was offering you the $100,000 is somebody that you knew didn't have any money. That this man that's offering you the $100,000 in 90 days was a known liar, was a convicted felon, a swindler, a heister, somebody that you even distrust when just in the things that he may say from day to day. How would that affect your decision? On the other hand, what about the twist of, here is a man that is offering you $100,000 later, and it's clearly known that he is one of the richest individuals in the world. And that he frequently made promises like that. That he frequently engaged in this kind of activity. And every time that he's made a promise, he has fulfilled the promise. He's kept his word. He's an individual that you might know personally or have a very close connection with. And you have a great deal of faith in him in several other aspects of your life. What I'm trying to illustrate is that the way faith and trust are involved in various moral and spiritual choices that we make in life. In particular, I want to help you see that faith in God are at the heart of the moral and spiritual choices that we make in this life. If you really believe in God, if you really believe in His power, if you really believe in His promises, you can trust Him in all things. That can cause us to make certain choices that we might otherwise not make because of our faith in Almighty God. But on the other hand, if someone doesn't believe in God, it's not surprising if he values worldly things that he can see, things that he can touch, things that he can have now over the unseen spiritual blessings that are promised in the future. Before I say any much more about that, let me remind you of some choices that we see made within the scriptures in Bible times. The first individual that we'll think about is the man Noah. We're familiar with the story of Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The wickedness of man all around Noah was only evil continually. And because of that, God gave Noah a responsibility. God told him to build this huge boat, and he would do so as a means to escape a worldwide flood. Now, on one hand, Noah could have decided to ignore God. He could have lived for the moment like everybody else was living. But the other choice that Noah had was to devote decades of his life, I'm sure blood, sweat, and tears, into a project without any visible justification and engage in something that would very likely make him the laughingstock of everybody around him. That's a choice that Noah had to make. Think about the choices that Abraham had when God told him to move to a strange and distant country. We know that Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees, and there are archaeologists that have studied the ruins. They have found the ruins of Ur, and they have said that there, where Abraham lived, that it was a well-established city, even to the point of finding what we might call two-story dwellings. Well, that would be some high living back in the days of Abraham. A very cultured city, so to speak. So Abraham could leave Ur to live the rest of his life in tents in a strange and distant land. He'd be in isolation. There would be some inconvenience There is a great deal of uncertainty, and there's even possible danger. But that's a choice that Abraham had to make. Abraham could continue living in a very comfortable, familiar, and secure place. Or he could journey into the unknown and be obedient to God. Another man who made a life-changing choice was made by Moses. Moses' life. We all remember how he grew up as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses was born. His mother hid him for 3 months. He was placed in that ark, in that little boat there. Spared from the tragedy of being killed like all the others born at the same time as him. Picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, taken into Pharaoh's house. Raised as Pharaoh's offspring, raised there as a royal prince. He had power, he had wealth, he had pleasure. All at his fingertips. And so the choice that he was facing was, he could hold on to what he had, or he could risk everything. He could risk his life to help God's people later on. You know, when we boil it down to the choice that Moses made, he could enjoy, or he could endure. We're familiar with that choice that Moses made. One fine illustration of the kind of choices that people actually have been faced with, people who are threatened with death for serving God. You realize that there have been times when it was a dangerous thing to serve God. Throughout the Old Testament, we see times when there were evil rulers that ruled the land, and times where the people of Israel, the people of God, were threatened because of the life that they lived. There have been times when, in the New Testament, when people had to choose between renouncing their religion in order to save their lives or dying with conviction. It's a choice that they had to make. Now, the reason I mention these things, the reason I recall these very familiar people, is because the choices that they made show the kind of choices that deep faith in God causes them to make. It's because of their trust in God. It's because of their faith in God that Noah and Abraham and Moses and many others did what they did, that they made the choice. It was not that God dictated this for them. They were not robots where God placed them and said, "You're going this way." God said, "This is what I want you to do." And they had a choice to make. And we see that they made their choice to follow God based upon their faith. Faith was involved in Noah's decision. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Noah toiled for years and years and decades to build the ark, and that was because he believed what God said about the coming flood, even though there was no visible reason for him to think that. But God had said it, and it was his faith in God that caused him to make the choice that he did. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 8, reminds us of the choice that Abraham made. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 8. "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, as he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Drop down to verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The reason that Abraham left the comfortable life that he knew for the hardships, for the uncertainty, for the difficulty of living as a sojourner in the land of Canaan was because of his faith in what God had promised for the future. He hadn't seen these things. But Abraham lived the life knowing, having full assurance and trust and faith in God of something yet to come to pass. In verse 13, it reminds us that these all died in faith, not having received their promises. There were things that were promised to Abraham that he never saw. But he still had faith. And it was that his faith that made the decision for him. The reason that Moses made this seemingly odd choice to give up wealth and luxury and pleasure for hardship and danger was because of his faith that God would someday give him something better. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. Moses was looking forward to something else that God had promised to him. And it was his faith in God that helped him make that decision. This is also why people who could have saved their lives by renouncing God chose death instead. They trusted God that he would give them a better deliverance. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Now you can go back to verses 32, 33, 34 and see some very quick descriptions of those individuals that we're talking about. Those who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, who worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That reminds us of stories in the Old Testament. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. These are all individuals that endured all those things because of their faith in God. And the Hebrew writer reminds us that there were some things that they didn't obtain. There were things yet to come. But they had faith in God. And so through the centuries, because of faith in God, because of faith in God's word, we see individuals that have chosen the future over the present, who have chosen hardship over comfort, who have chosen a sacrifice over pleasure, who have chosen danger over safety, and death over life. Now, I am confident that this audience is quite well aware of the stories that we've talked about and the choices that have been made. And what I want us to do is to keep that in our mind as we think about our life today.
the choices that we make.
Faith still needs and should and is essential to us making choices in our lives today. The reason that I reminded you of all these things is that ultimately it is our faith in God. It is our faith in the Bible. It is our faith in Christ. It is our faith in eternity that prompts us to make the daily moral, spiritual choices that we are faced with in our lives. Why do we tell the truth when we could profit from telling a lie? We can gain something right now. Why do we tell the truth when we told a lie, we could avoid some pain and heartache in that moment? The ultimate reason is that we believe that there is a God and that we are duty bound to honor Him, and He forbids us from lying. Paul writes to the church in Colossae and tells them that. Do not lie one to another. We see it time and time again. We know that that is something that God expects of His children, and it's because of our faith in God, it's because of our faith and trust in His Word that makes a decision for us. When there are times that come up in our lives and we can tell the truth or we can tell a lie, we're going to tell the truth no matter the consequences here on this earth, because we believe in God. Why is it that we obey civil laws that we might consider foolish or unfair? Part of the reason might be because we want to avoid any legal penalties that are imposed upon us for breaking those laws. We don't like to get pulled over. We don't like to get in trouble with the government. But above that, I hope that you understand, and I hope that you can acknowledge and realize that it is our faith and our respect toward God who requires us to be law-abiding citizens. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Don't just be obedient to the government because you don't want the government to come and to impose penalties and punishment upon you. You need, as a child of God, to be obedient to the laws of the government, even those that you might think is unfair, because that's what God wants you to do. God has established those governments. There is no authority other than God. Whether it be government, the local congregation, families, all those authorities that have been established have been directed by God. Why do we do good works? We do so without any fanfare, without any publicity. Why don't we instead seek recognition? Why don't we tell everybody of all the good that we're doing? Why don't we seek the praise and the applause of other individuals? Well, the reason that we don't do that as children of God is because of our faith in God. It's because of our respect for the teachings of Christ. Notice what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Jesus' teaching says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Why is it that we do these good works and don't tell anybody about it? Because we have respect for Christ's teaching. We have faith that what God says, if we do those things to be seen by men, well, that's our reward. We've already obtained it. We've got it. There's nothing else. But because we have faith in God, because we have faith in His Word, because we have faith in Jesus Christ and what He teaches, we do things without making it known. We do our good deeds knowing of something that will come later. I haven't mentioned it, but go back to our initial story. We've got the $10,000 in our hand. And somebody that we trust, somebody that we know is more than capable of providing something for us greater in the future, we make the choice because of our faith and trust in God. Not for things here on this earth, the temporal things, but for things yet to come. Why would we choose to live a chaste life? Why would we choose to live a self-disciplined life? Why don't we choose a self-indulgent lifestyle? Going for all the gusto. Make sure I've got this acronym in my head right. YOLO, you've heard that? You only live once. I think I said that right. That's the mindset of a lot of individuals in this world today. This is it. This is all we have. And that's the mindset that they have. And so they're going for all the gusto and gathering up all the things that they can because you only live once. Why don't we live that kind of life? Well, again, it's because of our faith in Almighty God. It's our faith in His Word. It's our faith that we have in the promises of something outside of this world. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, beginning of verse 11. Paul says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." Why do we live that self-disciplined life? Notice in verse 12, we should live soberly. That's within ourselves. Sober minds. Self-discipline. That we should live righteously. We live in a right manner. We deal with others in correct and moral ways. And we live godly. That's our relationship with God. We see ourselves, we see our relationship with others, we see our relationship with God in this text of how we live our lives. Notice what the Apostle Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. A few verses there, verse 7 to start with. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Drop down to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Why do we live a self-disciplined life? Why do we live trying to keep ourselves unspotted from the world? Why do we try to live our lives blameless before God, before others, with ourselves? It's because we have faith in the promises. We're looking forward to that new heaven. We're looking forward to that new earth. We're looking forward to that place where there is no tears, where there is no sorrow, where there is no death, where there is no pain. We're looking forward to something yet that we cannot see. And we're doing that. We're living our lives now because of our faith in Almighty God. Why would we be willing to suffer if we have to suffer to be obedient to God, to be obedient to Christ, instead of just conforming to the world? Let's just all get along. Let's just go along with things and we'll get along with each other. And it's because we believe Christ's promise that nothing we lose in life serving him can compare with what we'll gain if we're faithful to him. When we're faithful to his words. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Is it going to be difficult? Oh yes, it can be difficult. Is there going to be some struggles? Absolutely. There are going to be some suffering that we'll have to endure, yes. Whether it be relationships among individuals that we know, some suffering that we might have in our lives, our jobs, our schools. But those things that we'll endure versus what we will obtain when we let faith make the decision for us. I have faith in God that he's going to take care of me. And even if that means that I'm going to give up this well-paying job in order to do something that I can do what God asks of me to do, knowing that, well, the suffering that I might endure here upon this earth is going to be nothing compared to what God is going to give those who are faithful to him. Friends, what I hope that you have been able to see, that even though we may seldom think of these things this way, many of the decisions that we make in life are ultimately decisions that are made as matters of faith. And the reason that we can make certain decisions that others would never make is because of a strong, deep faith in God, our strong faith in Christ, our deep faith in the Word of God. But on the other hand, if we're making decisions purely on the basis of what's going to satisfy ourselves, if we're going to make our decisions purely upon how gratifying it is here and now, let me suggest to you that that points to a faith that is weak, a faith that is shallow. And we are encouraged, we are taught to strengthen our faith. No matter our level, we want to make our faith stronger. And so what I'm urging you to do is to decide whether you really believe in God's power whether you really believe in God's promises, whether you really believe in God's goodness, whether you really believe in God's judgment that is going to come upon this earth at some point in time. And if you do, then make the eternal decisions in life in keeping with your faith. Choices that are made by faith. And finally, remember that if you are a person of an age of accountability, if you understand what is right and wrong, it's that kind of faith in God's Word, in Christ, and in the Bible. It's that kind of faith that will cause you to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Cause you to repent of your sins. Turn from those things because that's what God instructs you to do. It will cause you to be baptized in order to have your sins washed away because of the faith that you have in God. That wonderful decision made because of faith. Faith is the foundation. It's where everything begins. Maybe those in our audience this morning that need to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, all things are ready. Maybe those that have been making decisions not based upon faith, and you realize that they have led you to actions that are bringing shame and reproach upon the congregation. You need to make public confession of sin. Here's an appropriate time. We're happy to pray with you, pray for you, make your life right with God. But I want to encourage all of us to think about the decisions that we make. How does faith impact them? Are we making faithful decisions? If we can assist you in any way, we bid you come as we stand to sing to encourage you.